Welcome to Steel and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. We're located at the Penthouse in the heart of Quincy. Let's have a night, boys. Tonight we have another March Madness special treat for you. As former BC basketball standout and former six-year NBA vet, if you're my age, around, 25, 30 years old, you know all about this guy. Six-year NBA vet, Craig Smith joins the show to talk about his career and what he's up to now. The Rhino, man. That was something. How about it, guys?
Bonafide stud.
That was an interview. Pardon the technical difficulties. It was a little bit sometimes. I mean, we're calling him all the way from California. So, yeah, he was a treat. That was something really special there. Afterwards, the lads will get into some Celtics talk as the NBA trade deadline has come and gone. We are balling tonight, fellas, so let's get after it. Craig Smith, here we go. We now welcome in as a part of our March Madness, former BC basketball great, six-year NBA vet, correct me if I'm wrong, Craig Smith, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing well, man. I can't complain. Obviously, I'm in sunny California. So.
That's how to get us, man.
Always got to bring that up. Always got to bring that up to my Bostonians, you know. But it's been a crazy year and a half, just staying strong, staying positive, and, figuring out new things in this new era we are entering.
You forgot future MVP of the Big Three, Craig Smith, and that intro.
I like that.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
I still got like an underdog role. They won't give me my roses, especially being a first year guy. Guy wasn't a first round pick, obviously. So I love the underdog role.
Yeah, now they're blowing up Brian Scalabrine schooling like a 15-year-old. He was in the Big Three.
He was tough as shit.
Scal put that kid to shame.
Scal was not losing that. He was going to body him all the way down.
Man, he went to work, but it's just like, we're chilling, sleeping in our tombs, but when somebody wants to awaken us, come out,
Yeah.
Good God.
I mean, Scott wasn't even...
A lot of these guys, man, they think they can play 2K and they think they're nice. You know what I'm saying? Two jumpers in a row, they think that, they can be an All-American or make it to the league, and it's just like, no way, guy. No way.
Mr. Smith, you brought up 2K. I just have to say thank you for your contributions. I'm a big old video game head. I'm a big believer. 2K11 is like my favorite 2K, and you had a huge role on getting my Boston Celtics a championship. So, a big big shout out to you and thank you. Your interior defense is B+. So, no brainer.
I could dig it. I'm a lockdown guy. It's tough to get around the Rhino.
Yep.
I wanted to start out with that question. Where does the Rhino? I know you're. Skill set and the way you played basketball kind of explains the Rhino, but is there an origin to the whole Rhino thing?
Yeah, man, it goes back to Boston, obviously, with Kevin McHale. The guy who drafted me. We were in practice one day, and I had to do like some rookie duty, so I was a little bit mad, and I was just beasting out there. Mac was like, "God, brother, you're running at him like Kevin McHale kind of talks like Macho Man sometimes when he's excited. Like, whoa, brother.
Goddamn, brother.
That's crazy. Like, just Jesus.
You're out here running through people like a rhino. And then the next thing I know was just, they were making little bobbleheads, posters, and, it was a good thing. I'm just glad that I've actually had a nickname to stick around with me this long, so I'm very thankful for that, because that's all people call me sometimes.
What did KG call you? Not nice names, I imagine.
KG had like 30 nicknames for me. The big homie.
what was it like playing with KG? I can only imagine it's just an up and down roller coaster.
It's so fun, and it's crazy because it's just like practices are so fun and intense, and then you get in the game and it's a little bit easier because you have a Hall of Famer you're playing with. A guy who's very knowledgeable of this game. A guy who can guard 1 through 5.
Yeah.
So that year, I felt like I learned a lot that year, especially from a guy like that. And I mean, it helped put me in the on an all-rookie team, having a guy like that in my corner.
Yeah. I mean, when he just gets down on the ground and starts smacking it, does that just not like wake up a second wave of emotion of just a rush that I can only imagine just playing with a guy like Kevin
Garnett. Yeah, I mean, players feel that, you know what I'm saying? And we all have different ways of doing that or dealing with it. But when you see it, it intensifies you, get your blood boiling a little bit, get you more active. Yeah. Let's go to war. Let's take these guys' heads off.
Was there any type of conversation like you're willing to share when he was traded from the T-Wolves to the Celtics, and like you had a background in Boston? Was there any conversation there in terms of like, oh, what's Boston going to be like?
Well, I didn't know where he was going. He initially told us maybe like 2 weeks before it happened that he was going to get traded. Just didn't know where he was going because there was an opportunity of him going to the Lake Show, I believe.
The Lake Show, yeah.
Oh, that would have been gross.
I didn't know that.
So, I mean, we had conversations about that. And then just when he went to Boston, I was just like, man, I'm excited. But I was also like, man, why didn't you take me with you? Let me get back to the bean.
Let me spin it back to, I know you grew up in California, but you do a post-grad year at Worcester Academy. What made you think, oh, and, you know, sunny California, like we were just talking about before we got on here, said, I'm going to go play basketball in cold Massachusetts?
Well, being that I knew I wanted to go to Boston College, I knew I needed to get familiar with some of the area, even though it's not like it's down the street.
You know? Yeah, oh, yeah. No, Worcester ain't.
An hour, 45-minute ride, but that year actually helped me in a lot of ways, academically and basketball, because I really started to understand more, especially like my routines, dig a little deeper in film and in scouting, having a deeper appreciation and understanding, playing against players from all over the world. I already had, you know, in my mind when I went to Fairfax, you know, I used to wake up at 6:30 in the morning, hop the fence and shoot and be in a full-on sweat before school started. So I kind of already had that mentality. And then when I went there, so this was crazy, right? So my college teammate was Jared Jack. And this
Oh, stud.
And that year we had a really good team. I mean, we had like 11 scholarship guys. Like it was pretty far out.
Did you win scholarships?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So the first time they see me, I don't look like, you know, this brolic rhino. You know, I'm a little chubby kid. They come up and like, they're looking at me like I'm trash.
Wait, buddy.
Garbage. And I'm looking at them like, oh, I can't wait to play. And they're like, yeah, we play. The assistant coach is like, yeah, we play at 3:30. I'm like, cool. So we go into this gym. You know, this gym has like Space Jam vibes. You know, the dark wood floor. Oh, like Hoosiers.
Oh, yeah.
You got the little track above, you know, people running around. And then it's just nothing but college coaches all around there.
Oh, shit.
Right? Scouting now.
Yeah, looking at it all.
Yeah, scouting. I'm like, dang. I'm about to make them believer and let them know who I am today. So, shirt scans. We got the ball, and I think I'm on Jared's team because Jared's like, oh, I'm the best in here, and blah, blah, blah. Like, he'll test this. So I think
you had something to say about it. Yeah.
I get the rebound, snatch it out the air like a cookie, right? And just rise up over everybody, dunk over everybody. And all you hear Jay Jack saying is, oh, we about to win the championship now. So,
let's go.
Domination.
Let's go.
I didn't, yeah. So you're.
So that was cool. I got like 5-6 offers that day.
Yeah. Wow. I turned them on. Who was that? we need him.
In that case, like you get 5-6 offers. What made you choose BC? You're friends with Jared Jack. He goes to, I think, Georgia Tech he played at, right? You know, what makes you guys separate and, you know, you're good friends with people growing up, you know, in choosing colleges, what's the best fit? How did you kind of approach that?
Well, it was based off loyalty. I mean, I wasn't highly recruited. People thought I was trash. So for me, it's just like, whoever's going to show me the love, I'm going to give you the love back because we're going to take this over. Like college.
Did.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and that's just always my thinking. Like any negative thought mostly that I have, I always trying to find fuel, put it in a fuel room for me so it can burn and help me, you know, reach a new height as far as either proving somebody wrong or going out and getting 40.
what's that, 17 rebounds? That's your college high, right? I read that right.
So yeah, 17. I mean,
no big deal.
Jared stole about 3 or 4. You know, I could have had 20, yeah. But that's was
you're playing. That's all.
You gotta let the other teammates eat. Yeah. No question.
See, Dez used to be everywhere all over the floor too. So it's like, oh man, Dez, you already right here, dog.
Well, I mean, you're second in scoring, first in rebounding at BC, but Jared has you in steals. Does that bother you?
Nah, it doesn't bother me because I feel like I got more assists.
Deep player.
Here.
Locker room guy.
I was close to every, like the last 5 or 6 games that we played, including ACC tournament and the NCAA, I was always 2 or 3 assists away from a triple-double.
What do you say, Captain Jack was your favorite teammate?
It was one of them. Yeah. You know? But I mean, I got a few. I mean, I always loved DeAndre Jordan's energy as a teammate. You know what I'm saying? DeAndre yeah. was really cool. Some friends that I didn't get to play with that were really cool. A guy, Chris Copeland, I'm really cool with. Josh Powell. I mean, guys I grew up with since I'm from California. Baron Davis. You got Uncle Paul. And then I got the little bros out there in the league. James and Russ. And, you know, we got such a big basketball community. And one thing we try to do out here is try to keep each other together as well, too.
So you're like your spot in BC basketball, you will always be linked to Jared Dudley. Just tell me about your relationship with him, and, you know, how did you guys end up linking up? Because I believe you were a year older than him, correct? Like, at least in class.
Yeah. Well, one, I'm a California guy. Two, I had the opportunity to see Dudley at the ABCD camp after my freshman year. So after my freshman year, I got cool. Like, you know, they want to invite you to be a coach player. You know, you go, you work out in the morning, but then you do the games at night, you know. So there I got to see him play. He was actually playing with Dwight Howard.
Ooh. Oh shit. And Dwight was a beast.
Like, who's this guy? He's making all the right plays. He's doing all the right things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then 2 months later, I see him on campus. Oh shit. Hey guy, you know, so we didn't know each other for that. Cause I mean, San Diego and LA it's close, but it's not the closest. And
yeah.
sometimes
yeah,
we're not close. Everybody, yeah. But do we know of each other at that time? Yes. You know what I'm saying? And I think if I'm not at BC, I don't know if Dudley comes.
So obviously you guys had the spectacular run, including, you know, getting out of the Big East your senior year, going to ACC, getting to the ACC title game. I got to ask you, like, how much do you hate J.J. Redick?
I don't hate him.
I don't mean to put words in your mouth, buddy.
Probably at that time, I could have body slammed him.
like Macho Man, hell yeah.
Because it was crazy. Me and Sheldon were teammates actually prior to that because of the World University Games. We won a gold medal.
Duke's so hateable. That Sheldon Williams team, oh, yeah. that Duke team,
when,
I hated
when
that
When you guys
team.
Beat UNC
I think
that
it,
year,
it's
it was
because
awesome.
BC was good.
Yeah, I kind of replay those plays back in my mind. I think if I can do something different, I think it was one of the plays where in my mind, I see my teammate, Lewis Hennett, who was wide open. If I can make that pass to him, he's definitely knocking down the three and the game is over.
Yeah.
But that's just things that I play in my head. But
yeah, it's, you
know. What will you take from like Boston the most, like in your time in college and stuff? What was like, if you weren't on the court, obviously you're working hard, man, in the gym, whatever it is. What are you doing outside of Boston? What can you share with us tonight?
Y'all got to understand the era and the timing of where I went. You feel what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'll even bring up just crazy things at the beginning. Like when I first went to visit BC, right? My morning back flight from Boston was the same flight that crashed into the Twin Towers.
Oh, Jesus.
So that's how that was the first start off. The second, I mean, come on. Tom Brady.
I knew you were a Tom Brady fan.
Yeah.
Are you a Boston fan over like a California Brady. Fan?
I'm a, well, see, this is where I learned something different that I felt like Bostonians taught me a lot. And that's fanship. Diehard fans.
Oh, yeah.
Not that boozy shit sometimes up here. We go to the Staples.
Thank you.
And they're 30, 45 minutes late. Die Hard. I'm in my I'll rip my shirt off right now.
Oh,
I'm so devoted to this team. I'm going to feed it as much energy as possible. Like that's the Boston, New England area. You feel me?
And it's 10 degrees out. It's snowing. And we're playing the Browns, and I'm still there.
Yeah. And it was still
there. There at 10 a.m., baby.
Like, hey, like it was 100 degrees, too.
That too.
Throwing the snow on the field, getting ready.
But I was at the playoff game of the Celtics. My girlfriend got a Coke spilled on her. We stayed till the end. Yeah. We weren't going anywhere.
So, yeah, man, like, being around the Patriots, which I am a fan of, that is my team, and Tom Brady is my favorite player. That's where I learned football the most in New England, going to BC. Man, I mean, come on, man. The Red Sox break the curse. I'm a Dodgers fan. I can't front. Yeah. But being a part of that at school was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's snowing outside. It's a blizzard. Everybody's outside.
I forgot. I forgot. That reminds, like, you were at college during the 86, like, when they broke the curse down 3-0. Like, that had to be some partying and shit.
Oh,
and,
shit.
Like,
oh, no. So, my roommates, right, all Red Sox fans, right, they put on our window, because we had the biggest window, Yankees suck, on the window, right? One night, me and my teammate, my roommate, Lewis Hennett, we wake up, we think it's a fire in the room, literally. We think it's a fire. We wake up, we open the door, it's a fire extinguisher, and it goes, ha, 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 Yankee fans. So we're literally up at like 4 a.m. trying to look for some the Yankee fans who did that. Like, yo. And then it's just like, hey, guys, take that sign down. Take that sign down, because the beef out here is real between you guys and the Yankees. So take that sign down. And yeah, but that was crazy, though. Fire extinguisher under the doors, like sick.
So since we're on the March Madness week or whatever, I'll get into that. So your senior year, you take down teams like Montana and Pacific. You get to the furthest part you ever been to in your college career in the Sweet 16, playing against Villanova. Like, what sites did you go to, and how was just the experience in March Madness in general? I know right now there's not really a lot of fans or anything, so they don't get the same experience. But you know that those fans, that crowd gets popping. When everyone's in attendance.
Way to remind me of one of the worst losses ever. I mean, geez. No, it was so my senior year, it was different because the mindset was different. I just knew something was going to come out of it because we did a lot of work preseason. So going into it and going out there, man, it was crazy. We felt we should have been in Worcester at Holy Cross, but we got burned. So, I mean, we're in Utah, right? We got to figure it out. But it's the excitement. It's the feeling when you're out there on the floor. It's the noise of the crowd, but also that good energy out there, because being in a neutral place, that energy could go either way, because it's not – so many fans here and so many fans here. It's like an equal balance. So
neutral just, site. Yep.
Yeah. Neutral site chaos, you know,
yeah, just still going crazy out there.
Yeah, they're just wilding. But, I'm glad we did not lose to Pacific. Like,
we knew
they had upset people before, like last tournament. So it's just like, you know, we got to be prepared for this, but let's also have fight. So when I'm at the free throw line, I'm like, hell in a way y'all going to have me on sport. Because I was like, I'm going to be on the front page of Sports Illustrated. Brick and free throws.
No,
instead of the one with the bat, yeah, I would have been on another one.
He wanted to segue into his cover, didn't he? He just wanted to set himself up.
The Memphis team all over again.
That was a beautiful cover when Sports Illustrated was big.
It was beautiful. I think it's very divine because I felt like that was just us, like in Utah.
Yeah.
Like, we were so pissed that we lost to Duke already. And then we got to fly all the way to Utah the next day from Boston.
That's a rough week.
They're giving you hell.
That's the day the rhino was born.
Because it's not at Utah fast enough.
It was. And then, so we get to Minneapolis, man. And I got the feel like, yeah, we're going Final Four, man. Like, there's no way teams can match up with us, and we're just too good at what we do. And we finally got our shot blocker back, who we always be missing games all the time. So now it's just like the perfect situation. And then I make the basket, and then we have a defensive error. You know? I still have nightmares about it.
It's crazy like how March Madness does that. It's like you know it's coming almost. It's like that feeling of that just like
this is it.
It's madness, no. I guess.
We'll see you with a minute left, whatever the score is.
And what makes matters worse was it was a gold 10 at best. We didn't even see the basket going. Oh.
It does.
I'm sorry I brought it up, Craig.
We lost on an invisible bucket?
Invisible bucket. That's tough.
Yeah, that's rough.
I'll get a little bit more positive here. So, you know, draft day comes around, and what's that feeling like going into it? I know you were the 36th overall pick to the T-Wolves, but just run down that whole day to me.
Well, one, I was like, dang, I already know I'm going to probably go either in the first or second just because I wasn't able to work out for teams because I hurt my wrist in that game. So I couldn't do a lot of workouts. So that's when I was like, all right. So they just got to see me on and how I look. But luckily, I got to do four in the last week, but I didn't do one for Minnesota. And I thought at worst, I was going to the Bucks at 39 because that's where I figured I would be going. I figured they see me a lot, especially tournament time.
Were you just trying cheeses, just hoping?
Like, hey, you already been in a cold place.
Yeah,
a little bit colder. We're a little bit northern, but yeah. So I thought I was going there, and you know, I'm just hanging out with my family and friends in LA, and I see my name, and you know, I just look at my mom, and I'm like, man, all this hard work, like, because she taught me the game, so it's like a full circle moment for me.
That's
my
cool.
Dad was trash. He can't play a lick of ball. Like, me and my mom, like, real true story. Me and my mom would go to the park and be grown men. I was still a kid. She's a lady. But she's a lefty, though. She's cold-blooded, though. She's a nice lefty.
Smooth shot.
She'd throw a football like Steve Young. That's one of her favorite. My mom's a beast, man.
You guys hustling on the court, making some dough? People are asking me. You should have.
My mom's too good. A good goody two shoes. I'll never do that. Oh,
God, a chubby kid.
Do it the right way. The right way. Yes. Let's shake hands.
So you left that court like, what the hell was that? That was nuts.
And I'm over there like, I'm like, man, like, are y'all serious right now? Like, y'all just leaving her watch? Like, they were totally disrespecting her the first five buckets. So I'm driving her like, go ahead, this is a practice shot.
Yeah, you should probably get over there, buddy.
You're already grown man.
5-0.
So how'd the rest of that night go in terms of the draft?
So when my name got called, we had a moment, and I was really excited. Everybody was there. And then Kevin McHale. On the phone.
Oh.
Oh, brother. Here you go. How you doing? I'm like, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's like, really like you. And we can't wait to see you. So that was cool. I partied it up. And then right early in the morning, I had to go right to Minnesota for a press conference. So that went well, me and Foy. And then I got to see Rashad McCants, who I got to play against in prep school. So it was real cool to be reunited with people you were familiar with. And then, like,
he could shoot the shit out of the ball, right?
You said what?
He could shoot the hell out of the ball, McCants, right? He played. Shoddy was
a great talent, man. And it just sucks he had a shorter career than he should have. He should have been a 15-year guy.
Yeah.
I don't know too many people like that could really guard him when he was like on, you know?
Yeah.
He was a talent, man. He was a real talent, man. It just sucks to see him have a short career.
So just tell him, I mean, you played four years of college going in your rookie season in the NBA. Just tell me how, you know, everything's changed. It's more of a business. I mean, I know you guys work hard in college and everything like that, but just tell me the whole role and how kind of it switched.
Yeah, it was a little bit different, you know. I got to play the freshman role again, you know.
Yeah,
I'm the
right,
new guy.
Yeah. Did you get the PB and J's from KG?
Nah, we had to get donuts. I'll tell you this story. So we had to get donuts, right? So the closest Krispy Kreme was like in Edina. So we had to go to Edina before practice. And mind you, in the morning, it's morning traffic, right? So we're basically getting there. We had to get there by like 7 a.m. just to make it at practice by like 8:30. So one day we got a call, me and Randy, and they was like, we can actually deliver these for you. Like, we know who you guys are now. We can deliver it for you.
Like, let's go.
Are they late?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Hey, the next day, KG come in here. Oh, y'all MFers think y'all that nice, huh? Threw the donuts in the trash. And I'm like, who snitched, first of all?
What you bastards?
And second, don't be throwing our donuts in the trash, man. It was $15. You ain't got the contract you got right now.
Some good donuts.
That's an awesome KG story.
You threw them in the trash. Brand new donuts.
Oh, man. Damn shame.
Other than the donuts, like, how was that, like, just the first year going in terms of, you know, maybe a different stride of, like, work ethic towards, you know, not being, like, the absolute guy like you were at BC to, you know, being a rookie and a role player?
Yeah, just finding my role out there. And, I mean, the veterans are really, really cool. You know, they were really nice guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, they weren't douchebags or bullies or anything like that, you know what I'm saying? So, like, we had real camaraderie, especially in the beginning. That's why we were winning so many games, like, the first half of the season before Coach got fired. But, yeah, we had a great group of guys. And, I mean, all they wanted to do was really help us get better. And that was the cool part. Because you can, in this line of business, you can run into some assholes, you know what I'm saying? So, it was very good that we were put in a nice situation.
So you returned to LA playing for the Clippers. How was that feeling like?
Oh man, I'm a kid in a candy store, man. I'm back home. What happened when you just fly back home? You feel me? You get the jitters, you all excited.
Playing at the Staples Center.
Oh yeah, back in action. Stomping ground.
And I get to drive to the Staples, like, this is my job now. Oh, like, is people even seeing me? Like, Craig, hey, where you going? I'm going to work. You know what I'm saying? But the opportunity to get to play in front of my family and friends is really like a once in a lifetime achievement that I'm very grateful for. And a lot of people don't get that opportunity, especially playing in the NBA. But I mean, I'll tell you what, it's really fun because it's just like the breakdown of it is I really wasn't back home. Except for high school.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of time back home. And, you know, a lot of people don't get to come out and see me play. But by me being here at Staples, everybody can come see me play now. So that was real special.
And you got to pay $25, though. Get those bleachers.
was Blake Griffin there yet when you were playing? Were they still like the – okay.
That's his rookie year when he broke his kneecap jumping. And I was like, dude. Unbelievable. You better tone it down.
Yeah, take it easy, man.
He finished the dunk and everything.
Damn.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah. He was like one of those highly touted, like, just equivalent of like a, not LeBron, but like a Dwight Howard. Like,
oh,
that
dude, he was scary.
He's just very explosive.
Yeah, he was the one where you just like he came out fast.
Yeah.
Out the, you know what I'm saying? And you didn't know what to do because it was so athletic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially when you got Mozgov.
I felt so bad for him. That was a murder.
It was a murder. First degree murder.
No battling back from that. None.
No, that's tough. That's not right.
I don't even know if he's still in the league now.
No, he's not. Nah, I think of course he's not. You know he's not.
When you were on the Clippers, you became quite a fan favorite. A little hustle energy. I remember watching you. Do you think that was because you were back home?
No, I just think it was a mixture of things. I think one, it does hold some truth when you when they say, you know, from Los Angeles, California, and then the people know, like, yes, I am a part of you guys. I was once one of you, you know, like, I am that same blood and from the same soil. So it's like, you can do anything too, because I'm a testament of it. So that was one part. Two parts is just like, you're going to love me because of what I bring to the game. I play with heart, and heart is something that you can't teach. And people always are going to respect it. If you're a fan, you're going to respect somebody who has heart, whether he's on your team or not. Because you always get that guy on the other team recognition. Damn, I hated that guy, but he was so good.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Marcus Smart.
Yeah, it's like the story with Boston right now. Marcus Smart.
He would have been a great Celtic, this guy.
Yeah. Exactly. What went into the decision of playing overseas? I know you played in Israel, and I think you played in China for a short moment, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to try something new, and I wanted to see how things would go out there in the world, you know? And which, for me, was some learning lessons. Especially my first year in Israel was a learning lesson, but China's experience was wonderful. Coming back to Israel again was very wonderful. But I think for me, I made so many great friendships out of that and out of those situations. For me, I think that changed me as far as how I looked at the world too, you know, have a different perspective and understanding a different culture. I think that's really big and divine for one person's journey. So I've had a blast over there, even though my first time it was a learning experience as far as understanding coaches and all that BS. I still had a great time because of the people, because of experiencing different things and then just learning new things, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. But should I have really had left? No, I should not have left.
Really?
But it was better than your situation at Portland at the time, right? That was the last NBA team?
Yeah, it was crazy because it was just like I go to Portland. The fans start loving me. They start making Rhino T-shirts. And then the coach gets fired. Couple guys get traded. And they tell me, well, we need to play and evaluate the younger guys. So we're going to have you guys chill out. So, like, the last month, I was literally on a paid vacation.
Could be worse.
Which I don't like, because at the end of the day, you want to play. And I felt like, why am I always being politicked in something? Because I felt like I was still part of that older NBA that they had certain rules, unlike the new NBA now, right? Just like, why am I getting being like this? Because I'm really a tweener. Uh-huh. And now when you look at the game today, was kind of the number one pick in Zion. Uh-huh. We're one of the most coveted guys because we can actually do both.
Yep.
We do a lot.
You're right. It's almost like kind of like the way that Brad wants to play with the Celtics there, that positionless basketball type, like how we got Fournier today with Tatum and Brown. You know, that they're all, you know, 6'7", big guys. Not your size, but, you know, I think that's a coveted, you know, size right now.
We all derive from the Anthony Masons to Charles Barkley, Wes Unseld.
Yes.
Because Unseld is pivotal in our evolution. If Wes Unseld doesn't win that championship, you don't have guys that always come out as 6'7 power forwards or 6'7 centers or different things like that. Like, he was the mold for it. And then, you know, over the years, Barkley. I mean, even Charles Oakley too.
Yeah.
Oakley's not
I mean, those Knicks were badass.
No layups ever.
Never. I mean, all right. Can we move it into actually your coach of your big three? He was a badass.
Yeah.
Who's your coach?
He definitely
was. Rick Mahorn.
Oh, Rick Mahorn.
Also, no layups. Yeah, no layups there.
He talks crap. He's like, man, if you came and played my era, I'd knock your head off. We would have been with no heads. We'd have been headless horsemen out here.
literally, and you were kind of it went from literally just fucking punching some people in the face to talking shit to now the fouls, you know, tapping James Harden on the shoulder. I mean,
yeah, I blow my ear as a technical.
And, you know, what do you see, you know, the game moving in a certain way or changing in back or moving back? I think Russell Westbrook brings an attitude, you know, Giannis doesn't care. I think there's a new era of kind of players.
Even Rondo, I mean, he's an old school guy.
I don't know. I'm just Rondo's curious if you see, him. You know, going back to toughness.
You know, you know, it's predicated to offense. You know, offense definitely has to sell. The highlights have to sell. And obviously good defense will also be represented. But the rules, people have to understand the rules. When you become like an all-star, you're something big. Like, for example, Kobe. Kobe knew all the rules.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's within the game. If you can understand the rules, then you can negate which way you can move around within that realm. And that's why you have success. And that's why I feel like guys should be studying that. Like, that should be a part of your study too in preseason. Let me learn these rules so I can have better understanding while I have to improv every play, each play during the game.
Yeah, and the way the team strategizes against you, especially as an all-star, it's,
yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
Chess.
Straight up.
Chess is definitely, you know, yep. So.
I got two last questions, so I'll go with the first one. So at the end of the day, I mean, 4 years at BC, you come back here whenever you're playing the Celtics or something. What's like the thing you'll take away the most from the city of Boston or just Boston College in general?
They always show me love, man. Love the Rhino.
I'm a Rhino fan.
Huge Rhino fan. It,
I grew up out there, you know?
Yeah.
I became a man out there, and we had so much success during that time. It was almost like it was us. Then it was the Celtics during that era, you know?
Yeah. You got up to like seven, right?
I mean, it was crazy. We had Bill Belichick at our games, man.
Unfortunately, now I think I saw a clip like 5 years ago when obviously BC basketball isn't what it used to be. And I remember some kid saying his favorite memory of his 4 years was going out to lunch with the teammates. I mean, that's depressing.
I think I played against a kid who played for BC. Like, I should not be playing against anybody on BC.
I ain't gonna lie, I was mad as hell when I heard that. Yeah.
I mean, Kai Bowman has probably been the best.
You didn't even say Sunday brunch. Yeah,
it's just fucking dinner.
Well, I gotta say, Craig, you're definitely now my favorite BC Eagle. Thank you for coming on the show. Because Jared Dudley actually allegedly stole my stepbrother's girlfriend. So
good for him.
Yeah.
Hi there. Was that the guy?
That's fantastic.
My last question I'm going to leave you with. Who's taking the NCAA tournament this year? We're at Sweet 16. I know you've been watching.
If Gonzaga doesn't get upset.
I get the Zags too, so.
I can see Gonzaga doing it, but I don't know because this year.
It's wild.
It's unexpected. It's just like Corona. We don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Tough to go undefeated.
It's done. Everybody's bracket's almost done. So it's like.
Mine's toast. But,
yeah, I'm long gone.
Yeah, dude. Gonzaga, Syracuse, you definitely may have to watch out for. I've always been a fan of SC as a little kid, USC. So I do like how the Pac-10's been rolling. Watch out for them for sure, for sure. What about
Oregon? I kind of like their game. They were ranked high early. Kind of
is undefeated.
They're a very good team. I think Oregon is like really, really good.
Yeah.
I got the Swedish jerseys, dude. Let's just talk about that. Yeah. Like, that's cheating, okay?
Literally.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah. Right? Legit. Man. But yeah, Pac-10 schools are looking scary out here. They're looking real scary.
Big 10, and Big 12 going down.
Yeah.
Michigan looks good, though, too, is the new Celtic there.
Big 10 owes me a lot of money.
Jawan is ready to do great, too. So, yeah, let me say, I would love to see Gonzaga, Michigan, SC.
SC just whooped Kansas.
Yeah, that absolutely kicked their ass.
Kansas wasn't good this year. Let's not pump the brakes here.
Cool too. So it's the same pedigree. So I love it.
Craig, really appreciate you coming on, man, and best of luck with everything in the future. This was great.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys, man. I had a great time, man.
Thank you, man.
You were awesome, Craig. Thanks.
Thank you.
So that was Craig the Rhino Smith, Boston College Basketball Hall of Fame. Now him and Jared Dudley. When I was growing up, you know, watching those games, I'm not really a big BC guy, like BC hockey, like for the Birds, like I'm BU.
Yeah,
but like
absolutely.
Watching that, them getting in the NCAA tournament, that was special. And to have him on, I remember even just, you know, talking to a guy like Craig Hines the other day when we were in my backyard when we were like 13, 14 years old. We pretended we were him being like an absolute, I mean, I should say, rhino in the paint.
Rhino,
it was literally
stuff
like that. What did you guys think of the interview? Because I thought it was spectacular.
Loved it, brother. Loved it. It's fucking amazing.
I mean, he played in the NBA around like my favorite time. It wasn't a foul on every call, and his style of play and energy. And like I said, man, he won me a chip in 2K11, I think it was. So surreal to talk to a former NBA player.
Yeah, it was something really special. And you know what? Him talking about the NCAA tournament, about like, oh, don't bring up the Nova stuff. Oh, we couldn't lose the Pacific. I love that stuff. Like that, him telling, like, I don't know, play by play and just like down to the wire stuff. That's kind of what you live for as an athlete.
Oh, yeah.
You forget these are real people.
I know.
I mean, dude, believe me, if I lost an NCAA tournament game on a fucking goaltend, I would remember that too.
The fact you called it like an invisible basket, that was everything I needed to hear.
I would remember that every day of my life too.
I'm very pissed we're starting to meet NBA players after they're in the NBA, because like I could be like, hey, Craig Smith, you're like 4,600 on DraftKings. Are we getting a 7X value today? Like that's where it bothers me a little bit. I could just slide in the DMs. You know, I was on that podcast.
We'll get there.
Speaking of the NBA, we're going to dive right into the Celtics talk with the NBA trade deadline occurring today. Today is Thursday. Boston Celtics sitting at 21-23 in the 8th seed right now. Didn't make too many drastic moves. Picked up Evan Fournier.
I love that move.
I love the move. You know, he's averaging, I think, 16, 17 points for the Magic, who, you know, haven't really had a good year. And I have a quote up via Kendrick Perkins, which makes perfect sense. He thinks Danny did a wonderful job. He's out here trading used cars and getting back Escalades. Because that's what I like.
Well, he's still on Danny's payroll, so I don't want to hear about that.
Are you a Celtics fan?
I am a Celtics fan. That's why I am goddamn miserable. Shout out to my fellow depressed Celtics fan, Miles B. Because as we stand today, the Celtics are 21-23.
Awful.
The Hornets, the goddamn Terry Rozier.
And who else? Gordon Hayward, that guy.
Red Hornets are way ahead of us. Well, not way ahead of us, but they're the fourth
two games apart, dude.
Yeah, but it's just I would never
massive.
Wait. So what did you want from them? Like, what did you want?
LeBron James.
not 10 games back from the third seed, the Brooklyn Nets.
No, I'm saying, what did you want them to do today to make you happy?
Aaron Gordon.
That
would have been pretty sweet. Getting rid of Tristan Thompson over Tice.
Well, I guess.
I do not like the Tice move that much.
Time Lord is the future.
It was a dump space and give Rob Williams more minutes. But you know what? I agree with you. Aaron Gordon, and then like you could have done a big trade in terms of like, you know, Vucic, who ended up going to the Vucevic.
That's a big name, though, but
whatever his name is.
Like, did this change anything? Do you think? I don't think it changed much.
No, it didn't
much.
Do
anything.
I think
it does. I think Evan Fournier slips right into the Gordon Hayward role from last year.
They're a four seed and they lose in the second
round. I think they're back up ahead of Philly, ahead of Toronto.
Maybe like four Toronto's games done, above Toronto's 500 at the end of the year.
Yeah, four to six.
There's the Nets and then the Celtics. Maybe I'm drinking the green juice. I don't
know. That juice is so fucking green.
It's fucking delicious.
All I'm saying is before Anton interrupt me that you know, you could have done something like a Vucic, whatever his name is, on the Magic, and Aaron Gordon. Since I mean, you saw the who got Gordon there, Denver, and they let up a couple,
and then
some picks. Like I was just thinking those two, and then you give up. I love Marcus Smart, and he's the captain of the locker room there. But how many times are you going to say that and then see him try to take a big three at the end of the game and come up short? Like, if you don't have a lot of assets to trade outside of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So I would have rather them, you know, give away the Marcus Smarts. I'm not talking about Rob Williams, but, like, give up whatever you can. Give up whatever picks. I mean, I'm sick and tired of, like, yeah, we have so many first and second year pick guys that, like, I'm done with these draft picks. We have enough guys.
Player. Give me a fucking player.
What if we got those two guys, got rid of Marcus Smart, maybe another guy, and a bunch of draft picks, ended up like getting them, and then you have Kemba, the Tatum, and Brown, and you have Vucic, and you have Aaron Gordon starting five. That would be a that's the moves I wanted to see today, and we didn't see that.
You can't move Marcus Smart.
I am on that side. I love Marcus Smart, but it's getting to a point where –
he's like the third valuable guy on the team. And then after that, who's valuable besides him and Rob Williams? I don't really see anyone on this team besides those four that are real valuable to anyone's needs.
I wouldn't trade with them.
I
like they just like the amount of Danny Ainge, the amount of times Danny Ainge has fleeced people. And with like what the talent the Celtics have, I wouldn't have.
Well, you know what?
He
got absolutely fleeced by Pat Riley today.
No, he didn't.
He got absolutely fleeced. Going for Victor Oladipo.
Oh yeah.
And then he's gonna get
Oladipo would have been a great.
And then Aldridge just bought out for like $5.8 million, which is, if you're crazy looking at it, I just got a bio for $5.8 million. I know he's in the NBA and I know he's worth millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
But he's going right to the Heat. Another fleece where, Aldridge would be a great fit in Boston. It's not going to happen. They say that's the top team that's going to happen. And I think that's where he ultimately moves there. Also, bye-bye Kelly Olynyk and Avery. That was they literally traded, like I think Devin Alexander said it today, shout out to him. They traded the 2013 Celtics for Victor Oladipo. Because it was Olynyk and it was Avery Bradley.
And a couple picks, yeah.
A couple picks. Trading for those two with anything in 2021 is fucking ridiculous.
Oh, I would do it every day.
Victor Oladipo. That's nuts.
Yeah. And
Avery
like,
Bradley in the clinic.
And then you look at the
Christ, they gave them a good player.
Yeah. The other side, and I know everyone's been hitting Jeff Teague a bunch of crap.
Like
he played his best game last night, and then like I have no problem with it at all. They ship him out. They ship out Javonte Green. I think you ship out the whole bench.
You could ship out pretty much every
player. Anyone.
Well, maybe Semi would have been moved if he didn't get injured.
When are we gonna get rid of Semi? I have just been waiting for this. I might throw a party. I might just say, hey, you know what? Here's a credit card to a fucking restaurant. It's on me tonight when Semi goes out of town. That's how happy I am.
Back on the game last night, I think they were down 25 at some point. They did show some promise.
At least
Tice gets a good look at the game. What do you think, guys? Shot made or shot not? He was gone. Obviously,
he was gone.
He's gone. It would have been a nice farewell party, but like after he missed that, it was basically just like get the fuck out.
Now that you say it, though, you think like if he made it, it's like he just hit the game winner. Do we really pull the trigger, guys? Like I know we've been talking about this for probably like 7 weeks. The same way that said Kevin Garnett knew he was going to be traded.
There's like two Germans in the NBA, man, and they got traded for each
Mo
other.
Mo Wagner, I love Mo Wagner, so I'm completely biased on this trade because I. When a shitload of money. That my biggest gambling weekend ever was the Michigan Big Ten tournament with Mo Wagner, where they won it and took him on the run. So I have a bias towards Mo Wagner. I love him as a Celtic.
I'm glad your bias had nothing to do with his NBA career because Mo Wagner stinks.
No, but that's fine. Awful. That's fine. That's fine.
I don't understand, besides getting Rob Williams more minutes, I know Tice was a free agent.
I think that's what it was, though.
But Tice was a free agent at the end of the season, so they just thought they could dump him to get, a washing machine, and that's literally what they did.
But, all right, now listen to this. Now you have Robert Williams playing big minutes. He you've already given out Tatum contracts, Brown contracts. You have Kemba on.
What's the direction of the team, though?
You're just growing his value to trade him.
You're saying to... the fans, whoever's watching this right now, that Evan Fournier is enough to win a championship? Because last time I checked, the Boston Celtics aren't about, finishing in the second round.
Is. Yeah, just don't Google
bold
it.
Bold take.
They're not even going to make it out of the
we're
first.
We're second in the East.
Make it out of the first round.
Oh, Jesus.
If they don't get...
for the 8 seed, we're not going to...
No, if they don't get a 5 seed or 4 or 5 seed, you play either Philly... Which, out of the three teams about to mention, I'd probably rather play Philly. And then Milwaukee. And then the Nets, who I would not want to play. I think the Nets would beat us in 4 games.
The Nets are the only team better than us.
Not a chance.
What are you talking about?
That team beat us last night, Milwaukee, and they should have won by more without Giannis even fucking playing well. That team's finally established. They actually have some shooters. They actually have some players around now. Drew Holiday. I know Eric Middleton's been a big guy on the team.
Middleton,
you know what I'm saying?
For us, it's always been Middleton, like over Giannis, though. Like,
Middleton
has been
is
for,
a Celtics killer.
Yeah. For it's us. Brutal. Like, literally just a Celtics.
But their MO is Giannis goes for, like, 35 and, like, 20 made free throws, 10 missed free throws. But, like, that's their team. And now they finally have something around it where, they're kind of playing. I think they've won, like, 10 of 11 right now. They're playing the undercard role pretty well, as Philly's been buzzing all year, and Brooklyn has the big three. So that, I think that's a team to look out for in terms of championship aspirations.
Philly's one of the teams like that like the Embiid, Simmons, Philly, until they prove me wrong, like those guys are fucking losers.
Yeah.
Like until they do it, like that, I have no respect for that team. They have been good, better, and then like the Celtics themselves have just beat them. So like no respect to them until they do it.
I'm pretty good with Celtics talk if you guys are.
Sure.
Yeah. I just want to say, Brad, I think there was a bit, some rumors saying that he might leave.
To IU, but he said he's a masshole.
He's a masshole, but things change. Remember Kyrie Irving? Remember what he said?
Kyrie Irving is a fucking loser and no balls.
Well, you might
what Maddie said right there.
flash forward a year, you might be saying that about Brad Stevens. So, I mean, never. Same thing. I'm over Danny Ainge, too. That ship has sailed, and the Celtics are not competing against anyone. Wick.
I think
that said the whole thing out.
I honestly think I like Danny Ainge too. He probably made the best move of all time when he traded Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. But what he's done in the last couple of years, if you don't do anything in the offseason here, he deserves to get canned. I'm that's not even a hot take either. I really don't think it's a hot take at all, because you have a team where, you know, a bunch of these superstars are left, and I get they've left for like different contracts, and you know the team didn't get along or anything. But at the end of the day, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they're both great players, but they're not going to lead you to a championship. You need more than that. And I know Kemba Walker is supposed to be your third guy, but it's still not even working. It's not even close to working.
Kemba looks like a really, really bad signing at the end of the day.
Sadly, yes.
Too much money.
At the end of it, who knows how bad
he got injured. And it just
we gave them a contract, you know? That we see, you know, the teams that don't win anything or don't have any fans give to someone, like a Charlotte giving. I mean, Gordon's having a year, but you know, giving him that much money. You know, it's a contract like that where you kind of look at it and you're like, wow, we gave him that much money for that. You know, he is tradable as it comes. Well, not anymore with the trade deadline. And the quotes were like, Danny Ainge is trying to let this guy go. He's trying to do everything to trade him, but you know he's still here, so you got to put up with him.
But that's what worries me about like the Time Lord is like this off season or whenever he's a free agent, maybe after this season, is somebody just going to max him like a Cleveland or Detroit, like a terrible team that can't get anybody else, and we just lose him too?
Who's that? I'm sorry,
the Time Lord.
Time Lord.
Oh, Time Lord. Yeah, is he? Is this his last?
I think this after this season, he's got one more.
He's got.
I think so. I'm not.
He's got
sure,
a team
though.
Option maybe.
I'm going to say this though before we move on. I swear to God, if this season ends in the playoffs, if we even are lucky enough to get there, and it ends on the hands of Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets, I will be livid as a Celtics fan.
I think it will happen. I think they're going to play them in the first round. I think it's going to be 3-6.
That's nightmare fuel.
Why, the Nets are 3?
They're 3. Well, they're all...
Celtics and
it's close. Everything's
Celtics
so
and six. That's the biggest green the teamer I've ever heard in my life.
I just said they're the second best team
when
in East.
When we play the Brooklyn Nets, I'm going to be the biggest green team. Like,
oh, yeah.
Fuck them.
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
I agree. I agree with it, but I'm not saying Celtics in anything at all. That's like Brooklyn in four to me.
Of the big three teams in the East, the Sixers, Bucks, and Nets, I absolutely would rather face the Bucks.
No, the Sixers
all day.
I know we have the number, but they just seem to me to be a different team this year, and I just don't.
Like I said, until they do it,
Giannis, and that team in the fourth quarter just they don't have it. I don't know what it is exactly,
if they sat Giannis versus the Celtics, Chris Middleton would beat us.
Literally, though, like Chris Middleton,
we would not win that series.
It's like. Kevin Pillar when he was on the Blue Jays against the Red Sox. Like,
baseball analogy.
Kevin Kiermaier, you fuck.
The Celtics need Craig Smith. I think we can leave it at that.
Yeah.
The Celtics need you, Craig. Please.
Yes. Come back. Come there.
Moving on. So we'll get into football a little bit. There wasn't too much on the Patriots forefront this week, but, you know, signings with James White and Lawrence Guy. I'm going to start here with, you know, James White. I'll play blue team or whatever it is. James White, after Tom Brady leaving, is my favorite Patriot on the team. Him signing back, I think, is big. They didn't use him as much last year because, you know, Cam Newton couldn't even throw 3 yards, never mind 20. He would be a big guy out of the backfield this year, as you're going to be without Rex Burkhead. You know, Sony Michel and Damian Harris are going to get most of the carries. You don't know what's going to happen in the draft. Who knows? Giovanni Bernard's name is coming up, which I think Giovanni Bernard is like a same thing as like James White type of deal. But I think James White just makes it. Ever since that Super Bowl against Atlanta, where like he was just like the guy, you know, I think 12 receptions or something like that. 14, yeah, even getting me there. But, you know, I think he's going to be a big part of this team. My take on Lawrence Guy is this guy's solid. Solid as he can buy a defensive tackle, you know, good up front here. Yeah, I think that's another pick sign. I think they signed him to a 4-year deal. I think he's like 32. something. That's ballsy as hell, but I'm in. I'm all in. Anyone have takes on the Patriots today?
I dropped James White just like he was with Brady in Tampa. Like, yeah. I didn't even think of him.
Yeah,
coming
me
back.
Too.
So like when he signed back, I was like, nice. Like, I'm fucking down. Love that guy.
He had a parent pass away or something. He's a
Fort
Lauderdale
yeah.
native, so I was thinking like he might go home. And yeah, no, exactly. You think he's gonna go play with Tom Brady, go win another Super Bowl?
Why wouldn't you?
end of the day. Oh, either. Yeah. We have any more takes of the Patriots free agency, anything like that?
Dak is back.
Dak is back. He is back.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I think what you see with Robert Kraft and his spending and Jerry Jones and giving Dak that contract, those two guys know that the CBA or whatever money's coming in, and that's why the spending happened, and we'll see. I mean, what else could we have done better at that position? I mean, and of course you have what's going on with Deshaun Watson. That's some crazy shit, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
so what do you think? Like 7-9 Cowboys?
Oh God! I mean, the NFC beast is for the taking. So I love
NFC beast. Are we gonna let? No. You can't let him say that. You can't let him say
it. I'm all in on the football team. No, I'm all in on Washington.
Chris Henke. Is that his name?
Henneke.
I like him. No, that division is the Cowboys, unless Cool Joe Flacco brings the Eagles to promise. But
did he really sign that?
Yeah,
he did.
Oh, wow. Fly, Eagles, fly,
that's
baby.
That's a combo. Flacco and the Eagles, Jalen, I'd be worried.
That's breaking news to me. I didn't hear that.
I want to say some positive things about the Patriots. Reserve offensive tackle Justin Heron, I guess the other day, saved a woman from being sexually assaulted in a park lot. Like, so shout out Justin Heron.
Like a 7-year-old.
What Cowboys done that? What Cowboys done that?
They probably were on the opposite end of that.
Yeah, so we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll
Craig Smith would have saved them.
Absolutely.
Naturally.
Craig Smith can do anything.
Yeah, fly.
We'll move on to this weekend's UFC 260. The heavyweight championship between Stipe Miocic and Francis Ngannou rematch from a couple years back. I know Miocic took the first one. Francis Ngannou is a -130. You know, it's basically even fight. Miocic is even. I'm going to take it here, and I'm going to go with Francis here because, you know, Francis has some knockout power. I know Miocic is coming off an absolute ass-kicking to DC here. But, you know, I just think the only losses he had was to Miocic because he just stood him up for like 3-5 rounds, and then Derek Lewis, which was like the most boringest fight I've ever seen. But I see Francis Ngannou doing what he's done his best. I'm like, I think he's going to knock him out within 3 minutes.
I 100% agree with Adam for the first time in the history of life, and it scares me. So I'm betting Stipe. There it is.
I love the logic there. I love the logic. I can't say I don't.
I'm Stipe all day.
Yeah, the over under, like the longer it goes, it's all Stipe's fight. Like Ngannou needs to knock him the fuck out, which is very possible. Like 1:11 is the longest fight Ngannou's had in his last 4.
Jesus Christ.
And like they were against very good fighters, like Rozenstruik, Junior Dos Santos.
I think it's a pretty whack card after that though. I think Tyrone Woodley's fighting someone.
Redemption.
Washed. Tyrone
Woodley's washed. He beats Luque, and then Sean O'Malley's back, gets redemption for breaking his foot. Knocks whoever the fuck.
No, give me who I've been kind of out of the UFC game ever since I stopped gambling in the UFC because I didn't like losing money. But Sean O'Malley's back, huh? Who's he got?
Forget the name. No, like,
Pete Barrett
on his bed.
I wish. Oh, I wish. Shout out Pete Barrett. Shout out. What's Pete's nickname?
Slippery.
How could I forget?
Slippery Pete.
But I was watching the UFC the other night, and yo, they got to do something about the eye poking. Yo, Bilal Muhammad almost lost an eyeball, dude. This was, yo, he was. I've never seen a grown man like sound. What the sounds he was making, how much pain he was in. It was disgusting. It was the main event too. Imagine, and I think that was the second, and then nothing.
It was a second no contest. Yeah. There was a knee, a legal knee, like another one. Sterling Yarn fight.
Another illegal knee.
Yarn's a fucking cheap fighter.
That was a bullshit knee.
That's
bullshit
not his first time either.
Yeah,
no. I was bullshit, but I kind of feel like it was kind of instinctual. If I said that correctly,
he
I mean,
like grabs him, his ass looks too. At him, yeah. And then just kneed him in the head. The other one was the same fucking thing. Like the other dude was kicking the shit out of the guy, and then bugged and did it.
It's still
it was less Jan's like
Jan hits after the bell.
Yeah, it's a bag.
He's a bag of shit. Peter Jan, fuck you.
The last
you're
thing
not invited on this podcast. Ever, come on, down.
I would take him in a heartbeat.
Yeah. No, we'll get all Jermaine instead. We'll get all Jermaine instead.
The guy who I've been trying to get on the podcast, and I'll leave this as our last UFC note. Just got announced that Massachusetts native Rob Font is taking on my arch nemesis, Cody Garbrandt.
Oh, my God, really?
May 22nd in Vegas. Let's
Well, I mean, I know, obviously, who we probably should be rooting for, but he's yet to come on the podcast.
Hey, you know what? He's doing him. We'll get to him. Yeah. We'll get to him.
I mean, we tried before.
Yeah, I have no hate for Rob Font.
Yeah.
He's going to come
but
on.
But we do have hate for Cody.
Oh, all day.
Oh, I won that.
This was a match made in heaven. This was a match made in heaven.
All for you,
this
Naz.
No, but this is two guys who, you know, aren't heavyweights or anything, but but have absolute hands that can put you to sleep in no time.
Yeah. Dillashaw's back, too, in that weight class.
Yeah, fuck Dillashaw. Let's talk about this fight.
Do we have a money line for Rob Font yet?
Nah, it's early on, but I would give Garbrandt the favorite for at least a little bit.
I love former
champion.
I think it's like a minus 160, minus 180.
Yeah, it will be like kind of close.
Is Slippery fighting soon?
Not that I've heard of.
I thought I might have heard something. Shout out Slippery Pete, though.
Yep. Overall, though, Rob Font, love to get your ass on this show.
Waiting for you.
You'll have to break up that clip. Moving on, NHL referee cheats. Steele, you have the synopsis of this, right?
Yeah.
Take the floor.
He just he got caught hot mic'd at the beginning. Literally the beginning of the game, he's like, oh, yeah, they did nothing there. Wanted to give Nashville a penalty early. And got caught with it. I mean, like the NHL lets shit slide all the time. Like that is a league that just people get fucking murdered and they just get like a one-game suspension. The next day, the NHL was like, you're out of here. Like, you're blowing it, dude. Like, get out of here. There is no way that ref did not cheat in game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. No way.
From what I heard, though, he's going to retire at the end of the year. So they're kind of just like slowly but surely saying like, yeah, he's done. But they're kind of just like suspending him for the rest of the year. And then he's going to get like his pension and everything.
Oh, he's definitely all going to get that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, the fact that the NHL even did that, though, is
he's
nuts.
He's got stories, probably. He's got
oh, you can't Donahue it. Yeah, like, you can't let it. You can't let him out. Like, you can't let him be like, I rigged every game for the last
NHL
fucking like 20 years.
It's like a state cop on the highway. It's like, who do you choose to pull over? Yeah, it'd be anyone.
It's human nature. It's human nature of like, oh, I can't. That was kind of a shitty penalty I called. I'm going to make up for it like the next time around.
Right.
Nolichari got tripped, man. Fucking sick of it.
Do you think it was a makeup call and it was just a circumstance of hot mic catching?
I only saw the hot mic part. I never saw the actual play.
I never saw the actual play, but it was all the evidence you needed to be like, this guy's cheating.
So immediately I see it on Twitter. I hear the clip and I'm infuriated. I'm like, yo, this guy's a fucking cheat, this and that. But I'm like, hey, like
unless
maybe
you picked his team.
Then I hear like this is how all of the NHL officials think, and then this guy gets fired the next day. I'm like, damn, bro, like where was his fellow referee brothers? But to find out he was retiring at the end of the. But also, this is the same guy referee who he scored a goal actually right off his nutsack into the goal.
Yes.
So one of the all time greatest clips I've ever seen was this guy, this referee getting a nut shot from the.
I hate to be the bear of, you know, being an asshole, but this NHL ref won career NHL goal. Doug Nolan, next question.
Oh.
Wow.
I think it's not fair to talk about the NHL and it be a negative thing. How are the Bruins doing?
Fantastic.
Are they?
They were bothered by COVID a little bit. I think they're winning tonight. Back on the ice tonight.
2-0 goals from people that are like, I think it's Kuhlman and Kampfer.
Yeah, they
right
haven't
now.
Played. They haven't played in a little bit because a couple guys were sick.
It's 2-1. My bad.
But guy Jeremy Swayman almost got the start last week.
I seen that. I got really excited.
Rask has been hurt. Halak played a bunch of games in a row. They're going between Vladar, who has a couple games experience in the NHL, and then Jeremy Swayman, you know, who's been I think 7-0 with a. Sub 2 goals against average. So,
the Alaskan Bullworm, Jeremy Swayman.
It was actually
the Alaskan Bullworm.
It was actually funny. I was with my cousin 2 weeks ago at a restaurant watching the game. And, you know, he's very close to Swayman. So he FaceTimes him trying to say, why aren't you a net or anything? He's sitting there with a mask on in the middle of the garden just being like, what the hell do you guys want?
Yo, what a flex.
Nice.
That was good. That was great. You know, great moment.
Beauty.
Absolutely. And, well, you know, I am a Bruins fan. I'm rooting for them to win. But if the Capitals get it together and Zdeno Chara gets a championship, I get a nice little payday.
No, if the Bruins don't win, I'm all in on the
Capitals. Word. Okay.
And that's usually every year. I know the Washington always has our number. But if you don't root for Alexander Ovechkin and you're a hockey fan, you're a loser. I get the Sidney Crosby thing because he has a lot of comparison to, like, you know, not rooting for like LeBron because he's kind of, you know, just like an asshole.
Guy's a loser.
Yeah, yeah, to a point.
LeBron's kind of like a great dude.
No, he's a good dude. He is
kind of a
no,
loser.
No, I'm not saying
he like built schools for kids.
No, yeah, I'm not saying that. He's not an asshole in that point. I'm saying he's an asshole like as a player or just saying like, yeah, it's all me. Like he says,
oh, his mannerisms too. And
yeah,
like, he's
no,
just
but
so
like,
corny.
He's like an actually honestly great dude. Like, Dick, fuck off. Like,
oh, and hot take. I said this on the morning show. I think Space Jam 2 might be just as good or even better than the original Space Jam.
Horrible take.
Go,
I don't
jump
fuck.
Off a bridge.
I will never take. Watch 1 second.
Like, yes, you will. Yes, you will. I'm going to make you.
No, I will not.
Anyways, Anton, you'll take the floor with our last subject of the night. Yeah, just let it go.
Maybe cut that.
No, we're keeping it, baby.
Okay, fine. Yes, I have I have to admit something.
You bought a horse.
I bought 2 horses.
Wow.
They're crypto horses.
What's that? Explain that to the people.
Well,
act like we have no idea what we're talking about, which I don't.
I've seen it, and it's electric.
Okay, so the simplest way to define an NFT, and that's simply what I bought. It's based off Ethereum, is a JPJ.
Like that's the show.
A JPJ is just an NFT. An NFT is a JPJ with a check mark, a verified check mark. That's the simplest way to put it.
So you're buying virtual horses to win money.
I can't believe you just used Ethereum in
so,
a sentence.
So yeah. me and Shlomo were talking about your crypto horses earlier in the car. Pretty fair question. How do you know the races aren't rigged?
You don't.
that's fun. That's great.
No, seems, so, okay, so there's 38,000 horses being bred, thoroughbreds.
Okay.
I have 2 of them.
Yeah.
No big deal.
It's a pixelated horse.
You can't breed a thoroughbred.
Now, if one of these...
8,000 have been released.
If
this
one of these...
Investment.
If one of these virtual horses, you know, breaks a hoof or, you know,
and they can't do that.
Strains an ACL, do you have to virtually shoot them in the head? Like old
I
Yellen?
Will. I'll take it out back. I don't give a fuck.
The next one. He's about to hit us up.
The first horse I fucking bought, she had 3 kids. I bought used goods. I mean, she doesn't want to race.
Kid bought 11.
Can you tell the audience how much you bought them for?
No.
How many units?
How many units? Yeah.
What
how many
can
units?
You win?
10 like, units.
Or 10 units?
Maybe 15.
So what kind of car could I get 10 units?
I think I have an understanding of how much a unit is.
What is
that's fucking ridiculous.
What's like the payout if you win on any of these races? Like, does it vary?
Depends on so it's literally like I own this horse to gamble horse racing. At even odds when I have a way worse horse because my horses suck. My first horse was named Attention Seeker. I don't get to name them. That's a shitty name.
That's whack.
Bullshit.
That's
you don't
whack,
get to
yeah.
name them?
And then my second horse is Should Not Miss. Yeah, you know what? It should be Can't Miss because it has missed. Every single race. Like, it's bullshit.
So you're just like watching this at work being like, go, go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's literally like you just buy into the race. Like you own the horse. Like you're buying into enter the race. And then like first prize is the pot. You know,
can you enter races with more on the line?
No, you can't gamble on them. That's illegal.
Can we live stream your races, or is that illegal too?
We can do that, but...
Yeah, wait. So we live stream, and then we also dress the nines like we're going to like the Kentucky Derby or something. That'd be pretty awesome.
I'd have to time it. I might have to buy more horses. That's expensive. I'm not opposed to it. I'm a top 3 NBA top shotter. I can sell those.
Oh, I
quickly.
Still don't understand.
They'll
that.
Trade them.
I think I understand crypto horses more than I understand Top Shot.
I think I do too, and that's bad.
I mean, I'll trade them. My Top Shot account could get like fucking 10 horses. I could have a whole back to neutral
a
racing.
Fucking stable,
I could
baby.
Have a stable.
A stable.
Just sex we'll, everywhere. Horse sex.
We'll wrap it with that, folks. Want to thank you for putting up with that noise and also tuning in, as well as, you know, Craig, the Rhino Smith, you know, BC legend. That was incredible having him on the podcast.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't do this all the time, but we say it after. Big shout out to Shlomo Bo here being, you know, doing his thing with
yes.
us, being a producer.
Yes.
I know it was tough tonight, you know, with everything going on, but
some stressful vibes battle, in the new studio. Also, can't forget Magic Mike, man. We love you. We miss you.
XOXO Jimmy.
What lie did he tell us that he had to do something? He had to go do
go
something.
Sell down. Some houses out
yeah,
there.
Networking. Yeah. Networking.
Whatever that means.
Also, always tune into the Mass Music Radio morning show, 10 a.m. on weekdays. I have to mention that every time.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Got to represent.
You've been on there a few times.
Oh, yeah. I'll get on there some more, too.
Oh, yeah.
Have some weekdays off. I'll get over there. That's all from Steel and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. You know, be safe out there, and go Zags.